ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 333rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We took a little off-season pause for the cause, but we're back at it this week after the first week of the open OTA sessions. And today we're going to title this episode, The Falcons Master Plan at Quarterback. Now, we've had a lot of activity this offseason, but we've had time to get to talk to all of the parties involved here. Head coach Arthur Smith, quarterbacks coach Charles London, both of the quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. And we've got the information now to let you know what the plan is for quarterback heading into training camp and into the OTAs, the rest of the OTA sessions. Before the open OTA session started last week, I had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Coach Arthur Smith. First question I asked was, what are the goals for these next few weeks?
Trying to be smarter about player health and safety, understanding what we're trying to get out of this voluntary period. There's a lot, you know, I kind of call this as a teaching and development period where we're trying to build up towards the season. You know, it's not something you can't do a lot of competitive, you know, football stuff in here, but what you can do is you can work a lot of fundamentals, a lot of the mental aspects, getting guys caught up. So when we come back here late July, that they're ready to roll and compete. And so it's a teaching and development, and it's a build-up phase.
Mm-hmm. As far as the strength and conditioning program, what was the focus for, I know everybody probably had individual goals, but what was the overall focus for to try to get the team?
Sure. I mean, guys that are here, you know, there's a lot of good outlets for guys, and that's part of the, I guess, what you want to say, the climate of professional football. So mm-hmm. Everybody's got different ways they want to prepare. The guys that are here with our program, we certainly customize it to where guys are at certain points in their career, certain things they need to work on, and strength training or modifications on certain things mm-hmm. of guys that are, as they age, and you may have to modify some things with being smart and still, you know, training to get ready to go. Because at the end of the day, you're training to get ready to play a football season. Yeah. It helps when you're strong. It helps when you're fast and you're in shape. So those are all things that part of the business objective hasn't changed. Maybe some of the methods have.
For the other player, yeah. So, and then just so how far is the OTAs? How have they gone the first, you know, couple months when you get the coaches get to do a little bit more, right?
Yeah, again, it's part of the build-up. You got phase one. A lot of mm-hmm. classroom time, strength and conditioning. Phase two, on the field. Again, really trying to work on individual development. Mm-hmm. And as you know, guys can actually go out there and walk through some of the plays that you're installing or defenses you're installing or special team schemes. So that helps. And you get to phase three. And we're not in a competitive phase.
Right.
No pads on. There's things that we try to do to make sure it's, again, another step building up. Train a lot of the movements that we're going to ask these guys to do. Certainly, there's things you can work on in the passing game in terms of timing and chemistry you try to build. Mm-hmm. And then defensively, the communication stuff. Again, the ultimate objective is get ourselves in the best shape we can going into training camp, both mentally and physically.
Well, there it is. Some of the overview from Coach Smith on the OTAs and the off-season program, which we're kind of smack dab in the middle. Just got about two more weeks of OTAs this week and next. Then you go to your mandatory mini camp, June 12th through the 14th. Then your break for the summer, from June 14th to the end of July for the veterans, and a little bit sooner for the rookies. So it'll be coming in a little bit earlier than the veterans. But obviously, getting the QB situation straight will be the most intriguing part of OTAs and training camp. With the trade of Matt Ryan, you now have Marcus Mariota in the building, along with Desmond Ridder and Felipe Franks. And Coach Smith told me how this group could work out.
Talk about another huge transitional.
Yeah,
step,
yeah.
You have a guy that I was glad I got to coach for a season. I got the utmost respect for, but he'd been here a long time. And as a franchise staple, it's going to be a completely new look at it. With Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Felipe will have a compete for some sort of role, but we got to make sure, bring Marcus along and at the same time giving Des a fair shot, but we're not going to rush something for some agenda. The best player will play.
So where are you at on the continuum with regards to developing quarterbacks? Rob, the old school, they set them.
Whoever invented the game and how pro football evolved, I don't want to misquote this, but at the end of the day, it's, especially in professional football, it's the premier position.
Mm-hmm.
It's why the guys get paid what they get paid. It's a hard position. We're going to look to develop in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an old school approach.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's what Ron Wolf did. I mean, hell, when you break training camp and you look over there and you've got Brett Favre, Mark Brunell.
Detmer.
You were there. You know what I'm saying? One of the Detmer brothers was there at some point.
Yeah.
You had Matt Hasselbeck there at some point. You had
Aaron
Brooks from UVA there at some point. You had Kurt Warner who couldn't even get to camp.
The field, yeah. But that was amazing.
And I think
95.
The nature of it, I think maybe the things being very transactional, I think with coaches coming and going so much, not a lot of stability anymore. I don't know if that's kind of movement. I've got my other theories, but why not take shots to try to develop, especially with these longer seasons? Like, when you get so thin, yeah, it's great when you have your franchise quarterback and everybody's looking for that, but when you're also thin at that position and the guy can't play, if he gets injured, even if he's out a week or two, that could cost you a trip to the postseason. As long as I'm here, we'll continue to try to develop that room.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Good points there from Coach Arthur Smith. Especially going back to the historical part of how teams have developed quarterbacks, not rushed them out there. We've seen in a new microwave era where the owners were paying the guys money, and they throwing them out there way before they're ready to play. And, that's just a difficult situation. It's a lot of different ways to skin this quarterback cat, but Arthur Smith's a historian. He knows what they did in Green Bay. He knows that Joe Gibbs won Super Bowls with all kinds of different quarterbacks, Joe Theismann, Gus Frerotte, Doug Williams. So, developing that position and keeping some talent at that position leads me to believe that, hey, they're going to grow with these guys that got here now. And if they got to get some more, they'll get some more. But we're going to look at that whole situation throughout here today. And we're going to get to the massive. When we're done here, we should have the Falcons' master plan at quarterback laid all the way out for you. So Marcus Mariota has some shoes to fill, clearly, taking over for Matt Ryan. That's a big tip-off. That's a takeaway. He's going to get the job. Then they got to give Dez a shot and try to develop him. But new wide receiver Brian Edwards, he played with Mariota in Vegas and thinks he can handle it.
People tend to forget that, Marcus is a Heisman Trophy winner, man. So he's not new to pressure, And I feel like I remember a game back in Las Vegas. Derek Carr went down and everybody was kind of panicking because Derek Carr, he's a tree in there. He's rooted in there. And Marcus was like, hey, man, I've been here before. Cool, calm, collected, man. And you ever talk to him, he says the gray hair is in his hair for wisdom. So I feel like if anybody can do that job, it's him, man.
All right. Yeah, Brian, it was a pleasure meeting that young man. Well-spoken. Second team, he'll get a shot here to catch a lot of footballs here for the Atlanta Falcons. Great insight to his former teammate, Marcus Mariota, former Heisman Trophy winner. That's correct. So, and how comfortable is he here so far?
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to have a little bit of familiarity with the system. It's nice to come out here and just, you know, be around familiar faces. You know, I've kind of bounced around the last couple of years in my career. So to be around people that you know that respect and love the game is just as much as you do, it makes coming out here that much more enjoyable.
All right. Well, you know, the big fuss was made in Tennessee when Ryan Tannehill said, hey, I'm not here to be Malik Willis's mentor. And Charles London said, the Falcons quarterback's coach, Charles London, said that's not Marcus's job. But we asked Marcus, hey, is this road to be a mentor to the younger guys, / Desmond Ridder and Felipe Franks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always kind of view that, the relationship in the quarterback room, kind of important and special. I always felt that a good quarterback room can allow everybody to be better and allow everybody to grow. So, you know, when we're out here competing, whether it's Dez, whether it's Felipe, we're all trying to make each other better. And at the end of the day, if they got questions or if I got questions, you know, they're a great set of eyes for me as well. So at the end of the day, you know, we're all out here trying to compete. I think it just makes everybody a little bit better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's certainly correct. But one of the big things here to watch, and we'll be watching, we've been put on alert to watch for this, is how much shotgun the Falcons work with Marcus. You know, that was an issue early on in Tennessee, was, you know, getting him under center or getting him in a shotgun. Of course, you know, he preferred the shotgun at Oregon. He did a lot of damage, won the Heisman Trophy out of the shotgun. So I'm pretty sure that the shotgun's going to be a part of the attack. But how much of the attack? So, you know, we want to know how familiar he is with the system under Arthur Smith.
There is some similarities, but there's also a little bit of differences, which I think has to happen, right? I think over the course of a couple years, Art's learned some things, has gone through different situations, different experiences. So I think being around it now, I like where the system's at. I think it really tailors to the people and the players that we have here. So just allows guys to go out there and play fast and do their thing.
No doubt. And Coach Arthur Smith, being the coordinator and head coach, has to delegate a lot. And I've seen him do it, you know, with David Regron running stuff and Charles London running stuff. But at the end of the day, we want to know how hands-on is Arthur Smith with the offense.
Yeah, he's very hands-on. And I think you'll see it. It's the system will have his fingerprint. But what's really cool about this staff is everyone gets to implement their ideas. You know, everyone gets to collaborate and create some just awesome stuff. So for us as players, it's exciting. When you're sitting in install, you know, everyone's getting an opportunity to kind of learn the system together. And at the end of the day, when you get to come out here and perform and do those things, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no question about it. But yeah, he delegates and is hands-on. No question about it. That's something to watch, because we thought Coach Dan couldn't find the balance. Coach Dan Quinn couldn't find the balance on delegating to his guys and then being hands-on. He was trying to coach the line at one point. You know, he might have, you know, was trying to do too much at some point there. But Coach here is hands-on, and he's got the balance working for him so far here. We also talked to Coach Charles London during the assistant coach availability last week. Mike Cunningham was over there for us, our columnist, talking to Coach London. A little bit noisy because, you know, they had all the assistant coaches going at the same time, but it's important to hear from these assistant coaches. So bear down a little bit and dig in to get Coach London's comments. And here's what Coach London said on how well Mariota's handling the offense.
You know, Marcus does have a lot of familiarity with the system for being the coach in Tennessee, so he's got a little bit of a head start on there. But he's been great working with Desmond and working with Felipe about just some of the adjustments, some of the stuff he's learned over his career. Marcus is a true vet, he's a true leader, and he's done a great job with the younger guys.
Yeah, no, true vet, true leader. He's doing a good job thus far. And we also were able to ask Coach London, how does he feel the QBs need to know the system, or how much of it do they need to know before the start of training camp?
Yeah, you know, and we challenge them every day. And and they've done a great job of studying. They study together. You know, they ask great questions. They're not as scared to text me at night, ask any additional questions. But they know they have to master the offense. They're the coach on the field. So if something breaks down out there, we talk to the guys a lot at that position. They got to learn how to rescue themselves and rescue the team.
All right, there. We appreciate Coach Lund. Appreciate all y'all helping out there on that one. A little tough situation, but. We want to, you know, make sure we hear from the assistant coaches when they're available as best we can. This is the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, we've heard from Coach Smith, London, Marcus Mariota, and our previous two episodes back, Desmond Ridder. And I thought Michael Cunningham had a good, great column coming out of the first OTAs. It was entitled, Desmond Ridder may end up starting for the Falcons, but it's better if it's not now. That's the plan. They're not trying to rush him to the field. You heard Coach Smith. They're going to develop him. And they're going to be fair with giving him a shot to win the job. But they got to get Marcus Mariota ready for this season. And, you know, he's basically on a one-year bridge deal. So how much of that bridge he can walk, going to be up to him. If he can walk the whole bridge for a year, Falcons got a lot of money next year. They can open it up and keep him on. If Desmond is not ready, if Desmond is ready halfway through the year and they're going to keep competing, then you might see him at some point during the 2020 season. So here's a couple key points Mike made in his column. He said, Ridder is a high floor guy with room to grow. Also, I think it's best for Ridder and the Falcons if he doesn't start as a rookie. I concur wholeheartedly. Otherwise, I wouldn't be bringing this to you. The Falcons don't have much talent on the roster. That's been well documented. College prospects who were much more polished than Ridder struggled in similar circumstances. Now, of course, you know, the exception is Peyton Manning went 1-15 and then went on to a Hall of Fame career. So sometimes, you know, you throw him out there. A lot of teams did that last year. But we've got some instances of when it's best to develop. So the best outcome for the Falcons is for Marcus Mariota to play well. Like I said, walk the bridge. He's the bridge quarterback. Take the bridge all the way as far as you can. And while Ridder learns how to be a pro. Just some more, you know, we heard some of this from, I got a little bit of Coach London on Ridder here. Just a quote since, you know, on the noise, I know we weren't able to get a lot of audio from Coach London, so I kept some of his quotes, too. Desmond is what we thought he was going to be, said London. He's got great leadership. He came here from the rookie minicamp, and it's hard. He's got players who are undrafted free agents, street free agents, that have never been together before, and I think he did a really good job of rallying the group. He's got a long way to go. This is the coach speaking. He's got a long way to go, but he gets a little bit better each day. All the coaches say that nowadays. We're just trying to get a little bit better every day. And, you know, at the end, we're going to aggregate the gains and we're going to be improved. But, hey, that's how they do it nowadays. So, you know, we looked at all the quarterbacks and when they've been drafted, if y'all been with us, we've been down some of this lane before. But, you know, Russell Wilson is a comp for Ridder simply because they were both drafted in the third round right around the same spot. So, but when Russell went to Seattle, they had a great defense. That was a Legion of Boom in his prime, you know, when they selected Wilson in the third round of 2012. So the Falcons don't have the Legion of Boom defense yet. I mean, they're trying to build it. They look like they had it going for a minute, but they certainly don't have it yet. So that's not – you can't really just drop the rookie into that situation yet. Okay, let's – Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick from Dallas, or for Dallas from Mississippi State, of course, in 2016. And he always had an effective offensive line and good skilled players. You know, the Cowboys drafted their linemen. And another one, the Chiefs won 12 games the season before. This is all from Cunningham's column. They won 12 games the season before they drafted Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Bills, Lamar Jackson, Ravens, Deshaun Watson, Texans. They were all drafted by winning teams. Okay, that's not the situation here. Falcons were 7-10 with a 146-point differential. So they played early. We're saying that's not the way to go in this situation. So, and then last year, we'll look at last year's five quarterbacks, see who got it right and who's still working on it. You can only say one of them got it right, and that's Belichick with Mac Jones. He was the 15th pick by New England. Lucky to join one of the best franchises. He ended up being the NFL Rookie of the Year. Trey Lance didn't play. They're developing him. That's old school. That's the old school that Coach Arthur Smith was referring to, the one that we've seen work the best over time before you just throw people out there and let them figure it out on the job training. That worked for Peyton Manning. He was 1-15, then he took off. It hasn't worked for a lot of people. A lot of people in that quarterback graveyard over there that they tried to play too early. So Trevor Lawrence last year, they just went to bad teams. They played him, looked bad at times, but you know how much of it was Urban Meyer and how much of it was Trevor. Zach Wilson with the Jets, he's athletic. We saw him in London. Made a couple plays when they were trying to get back, but clearly had no clue about, you know, outside of throwing bubble screens of what to do with the ball out there, and probably relying too much on his athletic ability. Same with Justin Fields. Didn't look good out there last year with the Bears. And, you know, we got the folks, you know, they're doing a reset, reboot up in Chicago. And, you know, hopefully for Justin, you know, Justin Harrison High, Georgia, Ohio State, local kid, that they get it right up in Chicago and develop him, not throw him to the wolves. So this brings us to, okay, the one instance where, or not one instance, but one of them, and we just call this the Tannehill plan. That's what Tennessee did. They had their team built. They got Ryan Tannehill from the Dolphins, and they replaced Marcus Mariota with Tannehill in 2019, went to the NFC Championship game. Now, last year, they were number one seed. That's a good football team that Coach Vrabel has over there. They'll knock you out. But Tannehill, he went back to the Miami on him, threw the three interceptions, and, you know, and the Bengals end up winning and going to the Super Bowl. That was one of the most atrocious playoff performances ever. And, you know, he said he's had to do some mental health and stuff coming out of it. That's understandable. But the Tannehill plan, we know that Arthur Smith helped Tannehill revive his career in Tennessee. Now, also, Dave Ragone was with Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. Okay, and Charles London was the running backs coach, so he didn't, you know, work with him right away. But, you know, they let Trubisky go. He went to Buffalo. Now he's in Pittsburgh trying to win that job. So, but Trubisky actually has a winning record because the defense at the Bears was pretty good. So, you know, he gets a lot of flack. But I had to point out to Cunningham, I was like, look, you look up Trubisky, he didn't beat the playoffs, and he's got a winning record. So you can't just say, you know, the winning is important. So, you know, if he's got a winning record, it might not be because he did anything, but he does have a winning record. So if he comes out of the shoot in Pittsburgh as the, you know, winner, you know, where they're trying to develop Pickett, don't be surprised, because he has won games in the National Football League managing games. So that's the, you know, your Tannehill, your Trubisky arguments. And Smith, Ragone, and Charles London are charged with helping Ridder become the long-term answer for the Falcons at quarterback. We'll see where that goes. Now, we heard the clip from Mariota about being a mentor or not. He's fine with it. He doesn't want a toxic working relationship. They'll work together. They're going to work it out. So it's not a situation where Tannehill's like, hey, I'm not here to mentor Malik Willis to take my job. Mariota's kind of fine with it. So we'll see how that goes. And Coach Smith noted, hey, he's a good teammate. You got to have the right people in that meeting room so it's not toxic. So they knew that history about Mariota when they signed him and when they drafted Desmond, and think that situation will work itself out. Now, lastly here, we got a couple other things too. But lastly on the quarterbacks, there's no shame in sitting. There's no shame in sitting. For Desmond Ridder, Patrick Mahomes only played one game his first year. He was waited behind Alex Smith until, you know, he could pass the test that they give every week, and until he was ready to play for Coach Andy Reid. Tom Brady set for a year behind Drew Bledsoe, but we know the Mo Lewis hit knocked Bledsoe out, and Brady had to go play. Aaron Rodgers did not play for 3 years in Green Bay. 3 years. Brett Favre kept unretiring and then retiring. But he didn't start to Matt Ryan's rookie year. They were both kind of rookies in 08 together. Because he set after being drafted in 05 when he fell in the draft and Alex Smith went ahead of him. And then also, no shame in sitting. Drew Brees stayed on the bench as a rookie for the Chargers. As Doug Flutie was, you know, finishing up his career out there. So, you know, that's kind of that's my last point on the quarterbacks. I do have one mailbag issue from Hugh. He said Ridder will never be elite. He's not accurate enough. I can't use some of the stuff he said here, but he did point out, you know, Bama played. Ridder looked awful versus Bama. Bama plays man-to-man and is always ripped by decent QBs. Check Burrow versus Bama, Correll versus Bama, and even the UGA quarterback. I'm not going to – I know who that is, Stinson. Even the UGA quarterback burnt them. Yet Ridder failed. And my grandpa said, you can't polish horse blank. So a little bit of mailbag for you there. So we'll see where Ridder falls out eventually. Hopefully they develop him. That's the master plan. That's clearly the master plan. We can conclude from our discussions with Coach. Ridder's going to try to win the job. Mariota's going to try to keep the job. The Falcons need him to keep the job so they can develop Ridder for the long-term benefit of the franchise. So with that, we have a master plan of how the Falcons are going to do at quarterback. And just last point here before we go, because look ahead a little bit. The Falcons have another open OTA at the Benz on Friday. And I got 5 players to look at for our guys that will be there. We got John Riker and our guy Gabe Burns covering the open OTAs this Friday. And I've been told 5 guys to look for. D. Alford, the cornerback. I said keep an eye on him. He's got a shot to come on and make the team. D. Alford. Of course, Avery Williams is going to running back. He was a nickel last year and a returner. And, you know, he played a little bit all over the place at Boise. So they want to look at him in running back. Probably got a shot to be the third down back. And, of course, Jalen Barnhart, the lacrosse player. I just call him the lacrosse dude. lacrosse Heisman Trophy winner from Maryland, went D2 at Fair State, trying to make a receiver out of him. So that's always an interesting conversion. Very athletic young man, we'll see where it goes. And, you know, I don't make too much of the units in OTAs, but Drew Dahlman was at center. So we know that him and Hennessy, they tried to alternate him last year as the number one center. And, you know, they were running the last year line a little bit last week, and he was at center. So keep an eye on that. That's already, you know, we knew that coming in because they tried to spot play him last year. So, and then another gentleman I was told to keep an eye on. They want to see if he can play. They kept him around for the sole reason. Caleb Huntley, the running back from Ball State. I've been touting him as he looks like a little Michael Turner. I don't know if he's as fast as Turner was, but, you know, them little thick running backs that are going to, you know, be able to play in this type of offense, he's one of them. And Coach Smith told us, just flat out, Coach Smith told me he wanted to see what this kid can do. So they're going to get a chance to see if he can play in the exhibition season, OTA's offseason. That's a person to keep your eye on. It's Caleb Huntley. So there, you know, there we have it. We've been trying to, you know, piece this quarterback master plan together. It's Mariota. I know my buddy Mike Bell's like, hey, why don't you just throw Desmond out there? Why don't you just throw him out there? Yeah, that's my bad Mike Bell impersonation because he does a bad one of me. But no, you don't want to throw him out there, Mike. You can't do that. You can't damage the kid. You can't David Carr him right off the bat. Behind this line, I mean, you could run all kind of RPOs and whatever you want to do to try to protect him. But, just develop him. Get him ready to play. When he's ready to go, send him out there. And, you know, he's either going to sink or swim at that time. You don't want him sinking without the life protector. So that's where we're at with the Falcons master plan at quarterback. So with that, we're going to get out of here. And thank you all for listening to the 333rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.